All right, I will too. Okay.
And we are back once again. First of all, just we reached 10,000 subscribers yesterday on
That's
YouTube, which
cool.
is crazy. That's wild that 10,000
Weird.
people. I mean, we've been doing. I went back the other day because some of my students, they're like, "Oh, you've recorded over 10 podcasts." I'm like, "No. We've recorded a lot more than 10 podcasts, right?" They start scrolling through Spotify,
No, I mean, week after week they add up.
and I was just looking at it, and our very first episode was April 18th, 2020, which means we just
Yeah,
passed
4 years.
a week ago,
Wow.
4 years of doing this podcast. That is
Kind of weird. It doesn't really feel that long ago.
no, and you know, for the first 3 years, we had like 10 or 12 listeners, and now we have, you know, within the span of this last 6 month, we've gone from like 1,000 to 10,000. So it's weird and
Fun.
crazy, and you
It's fun to
know,
do.
it's a great thing. I'm happy to be here. I'm
Moving,
happy. I'm
yeah.
happy that we get to do this. I mean,
Moving mindset.
crazy that people think that what we talk about is interesting.
Oh,
I
God.
mean, someone thinks it's interesting. Someone's listening to us, mostly old
Maybe like one
people,
person.
and people our age. So I'm guessing it's
Hey,
mostly
those
just
are
like,
viewers.
yeah.
They're beautiful.
Those are our viewers. You're all wonderful people, and we love every
Yeah.
single one of you.
That's true.
Well, what have you been watching, Andrew? What have you been up to?
Not a lot of stuff. I mean, like we went to the Speed a couple times this week and we watched some interesting stuff.
Okay.
Yesterday, and this kind of goes with like the movie that we're watching next week, but yesterday we saw a nice 35mm showing of the Claire Denis 2001 film Trouble Every Day, which I had seen before.
Okay.
I saw it probably like last year. It's kind of like a pseudo vampire kind of movie, French movie. Claire Denis is French, obviously, starring Vincent Jallo, disgraced actor and filmmaker Vincent Jallo, who is a great actor and he's great in this movie. And I had a really good time watching it on the 35mm print. When I first watched it, and I really love the movie when I first watch it, I will say it is kind of interesting to like rewatch a movie after seeing it. I think I watched it on Tubi the first time because the movie actually like looks different on the 35mm.
Filmmaker.
Maybe I'm misremembering, but it does look different, you know? And that's no, you know, that's nothing new, you know, obviously that's true. Movies on different formats just happen to look different.
A different experience, yeah.
But I thought watching it on film, I thought it looked more orange and it looked a little bit darker. And I thought it like had a better like looking. It looked a little bit better looking than it did when on Tubi. Although even on Tubi it looked fine. Like, you know, I think everyone ought to watch the movie. It is a crazy, weird, kind of awkward movie, with crazy dialogue and just kind of like a weird, kind of convoluted like plot. But it feels right. Like it feels. It's a horrific, disgusting, bloody. Just like fucked up film. You probably would not like it, Austin. Maybe you would, I don't know.
Why wouldn't I like it?
It's just like a really unpleasant experience for the
Oh,
most part.
yeah.
But I love that. I love how unpleasant and
You love
horrible it
that
is.
kind of
Came
shit.
out in September 2001, you
Of course
know.
it would.
Yeah, I just love how like unpleasant and just fucking just nasty it is, and I don't know, I just love that stuff. You know, I highly recommend people watch it. It was really nice to see it on the 35mm print, which I haven't done that in a while. You know, Speed plays some interesting movies, but they don't always play things on film, which is fine. But I'm glad we were able to see it. There's like this like a film union in the city called the Lamplighter Film Union that I think is relatively new, and they show films and stuff like that and at different places throughout the city, and including the Speed, and you know they got this one going, and so it's cool that they were able to get the print and played it. So yeah, I definitely had a really good time watching it and saw it in kind of like a new light. So yeah, great film.
Wow. I mean, just seeing, having the experience of being able to see something on film is incredible. And it's one
Yes,
of
on
the
every
things.
day.
Wow. I mean, it's one of those things that you know, we don't get a lot of those experiences in Reno. I mean, there's an IMAX, but I mean, you go see IMAX, it's going to be your Oppenheimers, your Godzillas, and not that those films aren't bad to see, but sometimes you want to see a 2001 or a Trouble Every Day, right? You want to see something kind of older, and it then there's so few theaters that have this capacity. And what's interesting, I remember talking to a theater owner in Chicago. She runs one of the art house cinemas up there. And this is when we were trying to build up our house theater here. And, you know, they talked about, you know, do you want to have a film projection? And we talked about, like, you know, what that would look like. And it's not actually, like, it's not prohibitive in the cost. The cost actually isn't that different from digital when you're talking about it itself. And actually,
we got to do it.
A lot of films, they still produce 35 millimeter prints, just like a lot of musicians still produce vinyls. The actual problem, the reason that not many theaters show, because until very recently, there were still a lot of theaters that had actually the capacity to show films on film. Very recently, like within the last, really actually since COVID, a lot of them transferred over to digital, because the problem isn't that they don't have the capacity to show the film or it's more expensive.
You need a projectionist.
You need a projectionist, and there are very few projectionists, because
At the Speed Art Museum,
where do you
has a
learn,
projectionist.
Right? Where do you learn to be a projectionist other than from another, like, it's not a trade school for projectionists anymore. You know,
yeah,
there's
you need to know some person. You need to go up to that guy and be like, I want to be a projectionist. Can you teach me? And then kind of like learn his trade. And you know, Speed has a projectionist. So the cinema does. So, so he, you know, does a good job. And I believe he travels the country, projecting different things at different festivals and stuff like that. So
and that's
cool.
That's the thing. It's like, it's a very, you know, I think it'd be an incredible job, right? I think it's one of those amazing sort of quote unquote dying jobs that really there should be more.
You know that Daddy Longlegs movie, the Safdie Brothers movie I mentioned before?
Yeah.
That the guy, the dad, the main character in that movie, is a projectionist.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. In New York City, which I'm assuming that's the thing too. Like, if you're a projectionist and you need like a good flow of work, you probably, like, it's probably like New York City.
Yeah.
And maybe Paris, you know, like, but in the United States, it's like New York City, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe like a city here and there, maybe Chicago, LA, of course. You know.
Yeah, I mean, your big cities will have like a projectionist or two, but a lot of those
maybe
are
here and there. Yeah, I guess. Length.
And I think for IMAX, I'm pretty sure IMAX has their own projectionist that they send out to, you know, these different IMAX cinemas across the country.
Yeah, you don't want to like you don't want to like you definitely want a projectionist, because, like, you know, a 35 millimeter print of a movie is precious, and I think it probably in the interest of the insurance of the film, you probably want someone who knows what they're doing to put it up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible.
But yeah, good movie. Got to see it. You should watch it. Everyone should watch it. I think everyone ought to watch it. It's unlike anything, you know. Vincent Jallo, great performance. I wish he wasn't a disgrace, because now the only gigs he can get are like Daily Wire movies produced by Ben Shapiro. So it's too bad that happened, because he's
what
really
is he
good.
Disgraced for? What did he do?
For multiple things, you know, like he Roger Ebert gave him like a really he had like a tiff with Roger Ebert, where they went back and forth about like his movie Brown Bunny, which I've seen. It's a good movie, but, you know, it has some unsavory elements in it. And I think, Vincent Jallo is just like an unsavory guy. Like, I think he's been accused of sexual assault. I think that he is not easy to work with.
Gotcha.
I believe I remember a few years ago, he was getting a lot of attention because he was selling his semen on his website for like $20,000 or something like that.
Sure.
So for some reason, like, he's just a really weird, unsettling, weird guy. And I don't think anyone wants to work or be associated with him, but he's good. Like I like both of his, I like both movies that he's directed,
mm-hmm.
which I've seen both. They're both good. And whenever he's in a movie, for the most part, he's great. He just sucks. So, you know,
just sucks as a person. You know, this is the second, week in a row we've talked about sperm. Weird
it's
connection.
True, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a Jallo. And you know what? Trouble Every Day? Sperm in that movie, too, in case you were interested. So, yeah.
I guess that's actually what I want to go on. Well, jumping into something completely
different. Less sperm.
A lot less sperm in my cinematic experiences of this week. So I had parent-teacher conferences this week, which
cool.
There's a reason teachers hate parent-teacher conferences, particularly high school teachers, because in elementary school and even a little bit in middle school, when you have parent-teacher conferences, basically every parent comes to those things because they're like little kids and you want to see what they're doing and all that stuff. But at the high school level, almost no one comes. And what we did, which is incredible, is the kids still at school that day, but the kids had a half day. So, you know, I'm still at the school at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's an hour drive. So I'm at the school at 7 o'clock in the morning. The kids got out at 11:15, but I had to stay at the school until 7 o'clock at night. And I was, it was torturous. Like, I don't know what it is. I like my job. Like, when I'm around my students, I genuinely, I'm finally at the point where, like, I actually enjoy the work that I do, which took a long time to get here. Cool. I mean, this is very recent that I'm finally enjoying the thing that I do.
Yeah, good.
But when I'm not with students, it is almost
everything
impossible.
Else is just like, yeah, everything else is just probably like a barrier to that.
It is. Like, it's just like, I get so, and I feel like, I don't know why, I just feel like it's hard for me. Like, I can't read at school. I can't, I usually don't like watch movies or anything. I don't know. It's just like something about being in that environment. Like, I can't like relax the way I can at home just because I'm like at, in like that school, like, because that's like my office, quote unquote, right? Because I'm in that room.
Yeah.
But I got over my fear and I did watch at least one movie. And I know I had to pick something that would be appropriate, right? If parents walked in, which they did a couple of times. So, you know, I couldn't watch, right? I couldn't watch the movie you just talked about, right?
Like, no, not
every
even,
day.
no,
Like,
not
I
even
can't,
a minute of
watch
it.
something like that. And I still want to watch something on the Criterion channel because that was like my best bet. There's a lot of stuff on there that, that's
Yep.
plenty safe. So, Criterion released the peak noir, 1950s peak noir. And this was probably, I think this was right after the Criterion channel first became a thing.
That's so funny. Wait, did you play a black and white noir movie for your class?
Well,
Wow.
there was no one there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're just.
It was
I'm
just
sorry.
It was the kids
My
were
bad.
gone.
My
The
bad.
kids were gone. So this
My
was
bad.
like,
My bad. Sorry.
yeah.
Sorry. I'm
I have played. I
misunderstanding.
mean, I played My Darling Clementine for them, which was.
Yeah. Right. We've discussed this. Yeah.
It was fine. Yeah. But I played. So way back when Criterion Channel first became a thing, they released this giant collection of noir. I mean, it was like 40, 50 movies. And for some reason, I became a completionist about that. Like, for 2 months, all I watched was noir movies. So I've seen a shit ton of noir movies, right? It's kind of like the one genre that I've probably seen more than any other genre for whatever reason. I don't even know if it's my favorite genre, but I've seen a lot of it. And so since they got this new collection, I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch something out there. And so I watched this movie called Gun Crazy.
Oh yeah, I've heard this movie. That's such a badass title too. Yeah, this is a movie I've been wanting to watch.
Highly, highly suggest you watch this film, Andrew. I mean,
no, I will.
Above and beyond just the fact that it has perhaps the perfect name for a movie. I mean, one of the greatest movie names of all time. Like, whether you like movie or not,
Gun
great name.
Crazy.
Nearly perfect name. And it's basically a retelling of Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Which I didn't think, I did not think it was going to be this at all. Because when the movie opens, it kind of like takes place a little bit in the past. So there's sort of this Western thing going on. And it opens up on this kid breaking into this gun store. And he really wants this gun, right? And so then there's this trial. So like they do one of those like old school trial things where like they have a couple people come up and then they start talking. And then like, you know, fades into the flashback, right, of what's going on in this kid's trial. And basically, like, the plot of this movie is there's this guy. Let me see if I can. They call him Bart. Yeah, that's right. I was like, what's the fucking name? Bart.
Yeah,
played
Priest
by
who's
John Dahl.
Yeah.
And Bart is obsessed with guns from like the youngest
He's
age.
gone crazy.
He is gun crazy. But the thing, the twist here is this kid and then later adult refuses to kill anything. Humans, animals, any living thing, right? He has this like moral code. And throughout the movie, they keep asking me, why do you like guns so much, right? What is your obsession with guns? And he's like, this is the thing, and I guess this kind of goes back to Collateral, right? This is the thing that I am good at, right? This is the thing I want to spend my life doing. because I am the best at this. Like, from a very young age,
yeah.
he's just like obsessed with guns, and he has no desire to hurt anyone. Right? He has no desire to become a soldier or an assassin or a hitman. Like, all he wants to do is shoot guns. Like, that is
Yeah.
his dream. That is what he wants to do with his life. And so we flash forward, like, you know, 10 or so years. He's an adult now. He just came back. This is like right after World War II. So, you know, he was in the army. He was a soldier or whatever. And he comes back and they're like, what do you want to do with your life? And he's like, I don't know, right? He's like with his two best friends.
Yeah.
And they go to this carnival. And at this point, for like the next 30 minutes of the film, it feels very much like, what was that carnival film we watched not too long ago that Guillermo del Toro made did a remake of?
Nightmare Alley.
Yes, Nightmare Alley. It has this very Nightmare Alley feel to it. And I think that's just true with like carnivals in the 1950s. Another level. I mean, truly, like, I don't know what it is about carnivals back
Very
then
noir.
and why they
Yeah.
don't do that now, but this is fucking crazy, right? All this crazy shit going on.
Right.
And so they go, one of the events that they go to is this woman who is this incredible shooter. And so she does like all these cool tricks, right? She goes between her legs and shoots something, and she has all these things. You know, there's this like super, one of the things that I love about noir films, and you know, this is one of the reasons I love the era of the 1940s and 1950s. And you know, this is something Hitchcock did too, is they are extremely sexual movies, but they have to fit
Yeah.
into that weird MPAA rating before the MPAA, right?
Right.
So it has to be like the Catholic Church was still running studio system for some weird reason. And so there's
Yeah.
like this weird thing where like everything is super sexual, but then like you can never actually act on it, right? It's like this weird moment in human history. And so she's just like extremely sexual, and like the tension that they have. And so he decides to go, basically, like, the carnival guy hires him. And you can see from the beginning, like, the actor who plays, which I can't remember who the actor is, who plays the, like, guy who runs the carnival, is just, like, the sleaziest guy in the world. Like, you can just see it in his face, right? He just looks sleazy. You know what I mean? Like, he's just
That's
handsome
sick.
Enough that, like, he looks like he was born to be a con man. So, great, great choice and great performance there. And of course, right, they go on tour and they're shooting stuff and blah, 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 blah. And come to find out that the guy is being a sleazeball, right, and is taking most of their money away. And so they decide that they're going to run away. And there's this weird moment where they like, go to Vegas, and like their idea is they're going to become like professional gamblers. Shockingly, doesn't work out. And so he's like, I'm going to go work at the Remington factory, right? He's going to go build guns for a living. Like, this is what I want to do. But of course, our classic, you know, femme fatale here, blonde femme
she
fatale.
She upends it.
She's like, I can't do that. Like, I need to live an exciting life. And so the rest of the movie, this is when it becomes, and this is about 30 minutes. It's only about, it's 87 minutes. So it's just under 90 minutes. So you're about 30, 45 minutes in the movie, you're about halfway through the movie. The rest of the movie is basically just Bonnie and Clyde. So the two of them, it becomes a robbery film. And the robberies become more and more complicated, right? The first one is like, they just walk up to the hotel desk and they're like, give me all your money, right? And they take the money. And every time what's incredible about this film is the rest of the film is just a series of robberies. Like, that's all the film is from this moment on. That's all it is. And every time they do a robbery, it becomes more and more complex. So, like, first, the very first time they rob a hotel, second time they rob a bank, and the bank robbing scene is so incredible. So I need to tell you how it looks, because it is so amazing. And I read some reviews and like people talk about like this moment, because it's just like, this is what cinema is. So the camera's in the back of this car. They're in a car. So it's behind them, right? So what you can see like the back of their heads, and you can see the windshield. And so like you can kind of see this, and they very clearly, like, they closed off, right, a town, like a town square. And the two of them are having this conversation while they're driving, right? They do a full lap of this bank. And it's very clear, like, they're going to rob this bank. And so they're talking about like exactly how they're going to do it. And you watch them drive around it. And then as they, right, they get back to the bank. They both step out of the car. The camera's still there in the back. You see the guy walk into the bank, and then a police officer comes. So then she walks out, right? She tries to, like, you know, flirt with him. And then they come out, and then the guy comes out, right? The alarms go off. And then, you know, she hits the guy in the back of the head, and they run back in the car and they drive away. And this is all taking place from the back seat, and you just it creates this experience as if you are in the car with them, right? You are sitting in the back seat,
okay,
and you are forced to be in this. And this
scene, that's cool.
I mean, this shot runs for like 5 or 6 minutes, right? This is a long fucking take, and there's no cuts at all, not a single cut, right? And you don't see their face, like you really don't see their face at all, because it's from behind them, which is kind of wild that they would make this choice, but it works perfectly, and it is just such a well shot, and so much time would have had to be put into like that shot, because there's a lot of dialogue. I mean, this is like 4 or 5 pages of dialogue, and just a lot of moving, and they're driving around a whole block, right? And they're actually driving and doing the shit, right? Oh my god, it and that moment that they get away, it's so amazing, and there's just so much thought into all of these robberies. And the last robbery they do is like this giant job where basically they decide that he's going to work in a meat packing like job, and she's going to work as a secretary at the same place. And of course, right, this is the last one, right? They're not going to do it anymore. It's one more job, right? And then they'll never have to do it again. And they basically do this long con where they work there for like 6 months. And the plan is, right, they'll work there long enough that no one will, like, they'll basically, like, no one will really know who it is, right? Because, like, they're kind of just underlings. They're just, like, right? And no one will know. And so they break into the payroll office. And up to this point, right, he's never killed anybody, because that's his whole thing, right? We can't shoot anybody. We have a gun, right? But it's basically, it's meaningless, right? That gun's meaningless. And he talks about that a lot. He's like, you know, I'm afraid that someone's going to realize that I can't kill people. Like, I just can't do that. She, of course, she doesn't give a shit, right? She's willing to kill people all the time, but she doesn't. Up to this point, she hasn't killed anybody. But of course, when they rob the payroll, their big job, things go awry.
It goes wrong. Yeah.
Shots get fired, and she kills two people. And that is sort of that moment that sort of breaks them. And so, like, you know, he's like distraught. He's like, I can't now. He still hasn't killed anybody, right? He's like, I don't know what to do. I can't be with you.
Yeah.
And so they plan to like go in different directions, but he realizes like they're so codependent on each other, even though they know, right, if they leave and go in different directions, they'll both be safe, right? Neither one will go to jail. But if they stay together, they know they'll go to prison, right? They know that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Even though they know that, right? They know that's inevitable. They decide to do that anyways. They decide to go to stay together, and they go back to their hometown. They go back to their hometown. And, you know, his sister's there, and like his friends are there. Of course, his two friends have become the journalist and the sheriff, because of course they have, right? Like the two sides. And there's another great moment. I love this movie so much. And there's another great moment where they come up to his house, right? Because it's their best friend, right? It's their best friend. So they're like, look, like turn yourself in, or we're going to have to call the police, right? Like, I don't want to arrest you, right? I don't want this to be a thing. So just turn yourself in. And of course, they refuse, right? They run away.
Yeah.
And they go to this, they run up into the mountains, and they're in like this foggy marsh. It's so fucking foggy. And, you know, they're super tired, right? There's dogs after them. Everything's going on. And so they fall asleep in this foggy marsh, and they wake to the sounds of dogs barking and people, right? It's clear that they're surrounded, right? And they say like, you know, you're surrounded, blah, 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 blah. So they know at this point that they are doomed. There's nothing that they can do. So the woman picks up her gun. She stands, she points the gun, she's about to shoot. We hear a shot fire. We hear a shot fire. Bart kills her in an attempt to save his friends' lives. But
well, thanks for spoiling the movie for me, Austin.
By making that shot, the sheriffs think that they're shooting at them, and then he is also killed.
Right. Damn, you spoiled the movie, Austin.
I told you the whole plot of the movie.
Wow.
I know, but it's...
All right.
I was just so excited by the movie, and...
That's fine, yeah. Yeah. I feel you.
I loved it so much, and...
Yeah, that's badass. That's a badass classic noir. That is a classic noir ending, right? Like, oh, man, it turns out it didn't work out. Like, it's very Nightmare Alley, too. You know, like, a lot of movies, for some reason, a lot of like noir movies end like that, where it's like, well, turns out, you know... It was a mistake, you know, like that kind of thing. So yeah, that sounds badass, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So any of our listeners, if you're looking for a noir movie, I would strongly suggest it, especially like if you're someone who is afraid of black and white movies and you haven't seen a lot of noir movies, if noir is something new to you, even if black and white isn't, if noir is something new to you, it is a great intro to noir, because it still has sort of some of those classic noir aspects, but it's not as sort of noir-esque as, you know, those movies where it's like a guy sitting in a coffee or a diner, right?
If you're
Drinking a
afraid of black and white movie, you need to turn off the.
You probably don't
Did
listen
you
to this
see that?
podcast, to be
Did
honest.
you see that? There was like they have that like new Ridley, no, not Ridley, Rip, yeah, Ridley, yeah,
Yeah,
that
Tom
new show
Ripley.
on
Or
Netflix or
Ripley.
whatever, and
Ripley.
it's and Ripley, sorry, and it's like in black and white or whatever, or at least like some of it is,
Yeah.
and I think there was like an article that someone put together that people were talking about on Twitter where it was like they like got like a bunch of like reactions from people that were upset that it was in black and white. Like for some reason, like some people, like they reject it. They reject like the black and white photography in a movie for some reason. It's kind of crazy, in my
It's
opinion.
like it's so crazy because that's like half of movies, right? You've just cut out half of movies are black,
Yeah,
more
that's
than
just
half,
how it is. Yeah,
arguably. It's like I just
I
don't.
like black and white.
I think it's just like, and I see this with my students, right? I'll turn on a black and white movie, like just the idea of a black and white movie is so terrifying to them, right?
It's
They
just like, I
have,
don't know. I think like, I don't
it's
know.
like the assumptions, right, that are built into it. Like, this movie is going to be boring because it's black.
Yes.
But I have played black and white movies for them that they have legitimately enjoyed. So, like, I know that they
Right.
like
I
it.
mean, you obviously when you force yourself to do it, like it turns out to be like very fine. But yeah, I don't know. It is what it is.
Do you think Ripley's going to be any good?
Well, I'm not gonna watch it, so.
So
I wouldn't. I'm not. I can. I
we'll
can't.
never
I can't
know.
speculate if it's. I can't speculate if it's good or not, because I don't. I'm never gonna watch it. But I think Paul Schrader on Facebook said it was good.
So he's
I
the.
wouldn't necessarily say that his opinion is the be all end all. But
But he is
I think that's
Paul Schrader.
what I saw on
So,
Facebook.
I mean.
I mean, he's a big fan of Taylor Swift. He loves Taylor Swift.
Oh, well.
So he has a very odd, he has a very odd, that's what I'm saying, like his opinion isn't the be all end all. He just has like an odd way of like looking and thinking of things. Actually, he got a lot of flack the other day because he, fuck, who's that one director who does the Heaven, the he does like those like romantic-y movies starring like Rock Hudson that are very like verbose from like the 50s. His name is escaping me. It's the guy. It's Douglas Sirk. I've never
Oh,
seen a
yeah.
Douglas
Douglas
Sirk movie.
Sirk.
He does like all that Heaven Allows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's had like a big critical like reawakening over the past couple decades. And Paul Schrader made like a post the other day where he was just like, "Look, I think the pendulum needs to swing back. His movies suck." And so people were very angry at him for saying that his movies are actually not very good. So yeah, he again, that's what I'm saying. I don't think his
Hard
opinion
to
is a be
say.
all end all when it comes down to it, but I'm just saying that's like the one opinion that I've seen about that show. But I'm not gonna watch it. I don't have Netflix. I'm never gonna get Netflix. So,
I'll watch it. I'll watch it and let you know.
all right,
It's nice
yeah,
to
that's fine. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
So, like, you know, it's Steven Zaillian. He hasn't made a lot of films. The Night of, Searching for Bobby Fisher.
Yeah, I have no doubt of its quality. I just don't want to get Netflix. Fuck that.
Yeah, I'll watch
What?
it.
Why do I guess? Like, why do you laugh? Like, it's Netflix is like a shitty company, and it's super expensive. They're always driving up the prices. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem worth it to me anymore.
I mean that's all of them. That's every streaming service. They're all like that.
But
I
I
mean,
don't want to like.
what
It
streaming
seems like a waste
services
of
do you
money.
actually like? What ones do you
Ones that I
actually
don't
pay
pay
for?
for. I don't pay
Like
for any of
do you
them.
pay for
That's
any?
the thing.
Like
No, I don't think I pay for any.
the only one I pay for, okay, we pay for Hulu because
I
Emily
don't pay
watches
for
like
Hulu.
Interventionist and shit.
No, I will not.
We pay for
Never pay
Paramount
for.
because again, Emily watches some sort of thing on it. Obviously Criterion Channel, but like that's an investment, right? And
At the end of the day, if I
that's
had to
it.
pay for one, you've been nice enough to give me access to the Criterion channel.
Yeah.
I would pay for Criterion, but I
Yeah.
wouldn't pay for any of the others. There's just nothing that really like. There's nothing on those streaming services that I couldn't go out of my way to watch anywhere else. You know,
Oh,
whether
yeah.
it be, I don't really have like a strong like streaming shows and movies, like special streaming shows and movies for the most part. I don't really care. I am angry though. You know, Netflix is going to have exclusively the new Richard Linklater movie, Hitman. That movie looks really good.
That's a
good.
Netflix original?
It's like a Netflix movie. Like Netflix bought it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're putting it exclusively on there. And I'm very happy about
that.
Wait,
it's not going to be in theaters?
It's not going to be in theaters.
What the fuck? Why?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's stupid. Like I don't know. It seems like a big waste.
Yeah, and I hear I know they're talking about like commercials on like
for what streets. Netflix
for like all of them, like Amazon
for
Prime,
like all of them. Yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah, all the streaming services. My dad likes to get everything, so therefore sure. I get to share them.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If I were to lose out on Paramount, if I were to lose out on Hulu, if I were to lose out on Prime, I don't have Amazon Prime myself. I'm never gonna get Amazon Prime. If I were to lose out on all these streaming services because they do the thing that Netflix is doing where you have to be like on the same IP address, it wouldn't be devastating for me. I would be fine. Because Criterion is great.
Criterion's great. And they don't give a shit where you are or who you share with.
There's plenty
of
stuff.
You use it, I use it, my mom uses it. Like,
yeah, that one seems to be, I don't think that one will ever crack down.
No,
on
absolutely
multiple
not.
People using it. So I'm cool with that. But yeah, anyway, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Let me know if the Ripley show is good. I'm sure it's good.
Okay. Yeah. I'll watch.
But yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah. I've been trying to like after school, cause I get home at like four ish. So I get home kind of early and I typically have an hour or two before Emily gets home. So I've been trying to like, you know, really kind of watch, and I kind of have to let go of this idea of, you know, I've been a very big proponent of, if you watch a movie, you need to watch it all in one sitting, right? That's always kind of been my thing. It's like you gotta watch it.
I
one
don't
sitting.
Know. It depends.
But you know, kind of, that's kind of like not possible with like my life right now to do that very often, especially because like
it's only going
to
get more busy.
It's only going to get more busy. Certain things are happening in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we'll talk about eventually on the podcast.
Yeah, you need to rearrange. I think, look, Austin, it's either going to be like you either stop this idea of watching, you know, a movie from beginning to end in one night, and I have to do that, or and not watch any movies, or like go of that and watch like some movies like in a given week, right? Yeah. You know, like at least like you have watched a few movies, even if you have to like stop in the middle of a 2-hour movie to watch the rest of it tomorrow.
And that's
my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's what I've been doing. I mean, that's what I've been doing with the last couple movies that we watched.
Yep.
Like Collateral, and honestly, like, it doesn't change the experience. Like when I think back on it, right, I still see it as one movie, right? I don't like think about like, oh, I saw these moments here, these moments there. It feels
right.
Like, even though like the experience itself is separated, it feels like one experience. So that's what I've been trying to do lately is I do have about an hour or two before Emily gets home. And, you know, even though there's like stuff I could be doing, I'm like, you know what? Like, this is important, right? Like, this is important to us. And, you know, that kind of validation lately of like, you know, people are actually listening to our show and you know, they care about the stuff that we do kind of helps too. It's like, okay, like this is part of, you know, what I do. Like it's important to have something like that. So yeah, I'm making it work. I'm getting there.
Good.
So
that's all you can do.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, 7 weeks, I got 7 weeks of school. So it's really just May. And then I got 3 months off. So that's 3 months of going to the movie theater and just like, I'm going to fucking play catch up. You know, I'm going to be at the movie theater all the
time.
If
I were you, I would just sit in front of the couch. If I were you, I would just sit in front. I would just sit in front of the couch. I would sit on the couch in front of the TV. There would just be a day where I would just sit on a couch in front of the TV, open up Criterion and just boom, 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 one movie after another. You know, I don't even want to like stop to like go to the movie theater and, you know, like fuck that. Like I want to watch like Essentials.
Oh yeah, I mean, I need it because like this year, you know, typically by this point in the year, I've
busy.
Seen about 100 movies, and you know, I was just looking at yesterday, I've only seen 37 movies this year. That's crazy.
I just think that
we are
a
third
away
through
just
the
like
year.
Even just like a day during your break, even just like maybe one day out of your whole break, just to like do nothing but watch movies, especially movies that are like ought to be prioritized. That's what I would do personally.
Absolutely.
But that's just me.
No, yeah, I need it. And I'm ready for it. You know, teachers only work 187 days out of the year, but those 187 days are so exhausting that the other
yeah, fuck that
180
shit, man.
Days are
again, you know, so. the job of a teacher for me is a very honorable job, so. And, you know, there are benefits to be had, but yeah, it's just an exhausting job, and I don't, I understand that it's difficult.
Yeah.
But again,
higher education, that's, you know, the dream.
Yeah, right, of course. College, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're working
on it. But again, like I said, I don't think there's any, like, the movie police aren't going to knock on your door and be like, we heard you stopped in the middle of a movie to watch the rest of it the next day. Like, it's time to be, you're going to jail. Like, you know. As long as you get that movie in to whatever like time that you have left, you did it. So yeah. That's just my opinion.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. So
yeah.
What else you been watching?
Well, the only one other thing that I want to like bring up was we watched a great movie at the Speed last weekend. Made by this Romanian director named Rada Jude called Do Not Expect Too Much from the End of the World. Earlier that week, we watched another movie that he had made called Bad Luck Banging or Loony Porn.
Okay.
Very odd titles. Bad Luck Banging or Loony Porn is a movie that was obviously made in the midst of the pandemic. And it's probably like one of the best, like kind of like pandemic movies that's not about the pandemic, like made during the time, but has nothing really to do with it. It's about a teacher who makes a sex tape. She like teaches at, I think, like a prestigious private school, and the sex tape gets out, and she has to deal with the ramifications of the sex tape getting out. So like the movie's like split up into like three parts. The first part, well, the introduction is the sex tape itself. So it's her like sucking her husband's dick and like having sex with him.
Sure.
It's on Hulu, but I think it's censored, I believe,
because there's
a big colorful box. There's a big colorful box that says like, censored, you know, self-censored, censorship equals money, and you can kind of tell that the box is like haphazardly put there. So I think like the movie was censored by the filmmaker in order for it to get on streaming services like Hulu. So, and he's like, and it has like a lot of like little jokes like on the censored, like
that's awesome
thing. It kind of adds to it a little bit, you know, because it's just like sex. But yeah, so the whole, but I think like, yeah, I think like the sex tape is on there, like in the movie. So you can like see it. So like that's the introduction. But then the first part of the movie is the teacher walking around her city. And that's all it is. She's walking around the city. She talks on the phone. She meets people. And they talk about the fact that the sex tape came out and how later that day she needs to do a parent teacher conference with a bunch of teachers who are upset with her.
Sure.
But that's all it is. The first part is just her walking around. Silently, sometimes she encounters people, and the movie does, and the camera does this thing where it'll follow her walking, and then the camera will like zoom up into the sky like a building or a statue. It's very odd. The second part of the movie is really odd. It's this like collage of a bunch of different little films that sort of like seek to define certain words, like government or food or something, or sex or something like that. And it's kind of like this weird kind of like Adam Curtis thing. There's no narration. It's just kind of like a text that has like these very, you know, funny quotes or aphorisms or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's very odd. It's very separated from the rest of the movie, but I really enjoyed watching it. And then the third part of the movie is like basically like a court proceeding of her in front of all these parents who are mad at her. And they're all like very simple-minded and conservative and you know, they say all these crazy things, and it's a good movie. It's very all over the place the way that it's structured, but I like it. And kind of going into this new movie that he has, Do Not Expect Too Much from the End of the World, what I like about these two movies is that a lot of like the biggest filmmakers today, like Martin Scorsese, who I love, they like to retreat in the past, right? Because the contemporary times is just too complicated and weird for people to deal with in a film. So yeah. Martin Scorsese and like, I don't know, just like so many other people, like they retreat into fantasy in the past. Mm-hmm. Rada Jude rejects that entirely and looks at the contemporary times and it says, no, like this is the modern condition. This is what it's all about. this is what it's like to live our everyday lives. And do not expect too much from the end of the world. It's almost 3 hours long, and it follows this woman in Romania. It's a basically the majority of the movie is her working as a production assistant. She works for like this film company that is making a film, a safety film essentially, for like this evil Austrian company. And so she's going around to around town, and she's filming and interviewing these people who have been horribly disfigured, paralyzed, and maimed while working for this like Austrian company. So like she like talks to all these like people and stuff. And like when she talks to these people, it's clear that like it might have not been entirely their fault. Right, like they're like it's more than just like their fault. Like there were other things that failed them that caused them to be paralyzed or maimed. And like the movie's entirely black and white except for the very last part. And again, the point of the movie, the fact that it's so long, is because all it is just this woman driving around, doing her work, talking on the phone, listening to music in the car, her sitting in traffic. It's just kind of like, it's very relatable, you know. It's just kind of like that's the condition of our lives that we live in. Like this is just like one day in the life of this person, and that's like the way it is, and that's the way it is, you know. He goes, yeah, he completely submerges the movie in like these contemporary issues and just like the contemporary way of life of just this like one person who's trying their best. And it's really moving. It's really difficult. Like this is not a movie that you would like put on at the end of a long day of work, because yeah, that's what the movie is about. It's about a long day of work.
Yeah.
It's a movie about an overworked person,
mm-hmm,
who is basically like driving around, you know. She's like sleep deprived, and she's meeting with people who have been horribly injured while working and are unfairly compensated for it. And they have to do these like, and it's just like really not an easy watch, you know, because and it's very kind of like when she's like driving around, she's just driving around, you know, there's nothing crazy about it. He does this really weird thing where he splices his movie, which is the character driving around, with like an old Romanian movie about a woman taxi driver in Romania. It's very odd. I've never seen anything like this.
Like, is he, it like, a goes, real movie, or is he
like, it's a real movie? Okay. No, it's like it's a real movie from like the 70s or 80s.
Okay.
And I think he must have gotten the rights to it because he splices footage that kind of sort of interacts and is kind of similar to his footage. And he also, I think, got some of the original actors from that movie to play characters in his movie as well. So they're really old.
Really?
So there's this kind of like this weird kind of like discussion between like past and present, but yeah, it's still very much like a very present movie. It's all about the present. But he's using like this older film. It's very odd. And like the very, very last part of the movie is this really long, it's pretty much like one long take. I think there's like a break in the middle, but it's this really, really long take where they are trying to get like this footage of this guy that was horribly paralyzed to talk about how he wasn't wearing a safety helmet, and you know, you ought to wear your safety helmet if you're working or whatever, but it's really not his fault. And he bickers with like the people that he's like working with, like filming, and amazing movie. Like it's really funny and sad and striking, and it's such a brave movie. It just doesn't, it again, people are so afraid of like talking about what it's like to live today, mm-hmm, but Radha Jude went ahead and made a movie that shows exactly what it's like to live today. So I highly recommend it. Again, don't watch it after a long day of work, because it'll probably make you feel even more miserable.
<It works.
laughs> But it's so good. God damn.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the big challenges. I remember I don't watch a lot of YouTube, but one of the people that I do actually admire the work that they do on YouTube, I think they legitimately make good work. This might be a year or two ago now, so it's not very recent, but he talks about the statistics, like the he actually like right, he runs the numbers on like how many films actually have sort of modern themes and like smartphones in them and like these sorts of things. And just like the dismal amount that have these sort of, and this is a recent thing. I mean, you go back, you know, 20 years, 30 years, 4 years, like they were, you know, there are plenty of films that kind of face like what it means to be in modernity. And of course, you know, people like Ozu, right? They love to play with this during their times, like this idea of, you know, tradition versus the modern. And I think it's more challenging than ever to do that well, to interact with it, because it's, I think before, because like the things that they were interacting with weren't visual mediums, right? We're interacting with, oh, here's a new type of phone, or, you know, here's a new type of technology. Mm-hmm. But now the thing that we have to interact with is another video form, right? And that's a very challenging thing to interact with.
There's another thing about the movie too that I forgot. One of the things that she does, the main character, along with driving around, is she, and the footage is spliced in the movie, she records herself playing this character using this face app. She uses this face app, which makes her have like a unibrow and makes her bald. And it's like this character that she does called like Bobbith or something like that. Or like, I'm trying to think about like what this like character is. The name of it is Bobita. It's like an Andrew Tate type character that she does, where as she's like walking around and doing her thing, she like randomly does these random like comedy videos where she's making fun of Andrew Tate as this character named Bobita. Mm-hmm. And like the phone footage of her doing the face app is like spliced into the movie as she's doing it. And like at one point she like meets Uwe Boll, like the German director, as he's making a movie, and she records like a video with him. It's like very random. And it's kind of what you were talking about. Like, he's kind of like, he's like, that's what people do, right? Like, that's like, like, that's like what normal, regular people do. They do like these little like videos and stuff. And pretty much every other filmmaker doesn't want to do that. But Rada Jude, he sees that, he understands it, and he puts that in the character. He puts that in the movie, which is really brave. It kind of, he's not afraid about it being aged or anything like that. And it adds like a comedy element to the movie. It's funny.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, that definitely wasn't on the list before, but it's definitely going on the list now. You watched that at the Speed Cinema, right?
Yeah, we watched it there. Yeah, I think it's going to be on Mubi. I'm going to watch it on Mubi, another streaming service. That's another one I wouldn't mind paying for, but again, I just don't. So.
Yeah. Well.
That's pretty much all I wanted to talk about.
That's all I got, too. Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, thank you all for listening, and until next time.
Thank you.